Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right, let's do it. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. I'm Jamie Markley. That's David Van Camp. There's Scott Robbins. All right. It's time to pay attention to what's going on today. No more Scott and I arguing on things that are 30 years old now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's for off air.
That's right.
Okay. Let's start here. The Atlanta shooter was caught. David, you have a list of what we know and then what's not really being talked about.
Yeah. Deion Patterson is the guy's name. He's been arrested for shooting up a medical office in Atlanta yesterday. Police say he killed one woman and wounded four others now. He's 24. He was an electrician in the Coast Guard until being discharged earlier this year. And his mom did an off-camera interview with WSB-TV, I think also spoke with the Daily Beast, saying that he'd been prescribed medication for anxiety last Friday, but went back because he wanted Ativan. But the VA wouldn't approve it because it was too addictive. Now, that to me is the key, because it wasn't clear to me. I don't know if you've seen any other reporting on this. It wasn't clear to me whether or not he was already on Ativan. But the timeline would kind of make sense. If he's discharged from the Coast Guard in January, gets prescribed Ativan for anxiety or whatever happened back in January.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ativan is no longer approved or isn't approved for daily use longer than 4 months. So the timeline kind of adds up. Like, maybe he had that prescription, and then the doctor said, we can't actually renew this now. So they give him something else. It doesn't work. And he snaps.
And so you had texted me about that last night.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty interesting. So when I tune into the Good Morning America, the Today Show, all this stuff to see, okay, how are they going to play that? That's not mentioned. And they're not talking about any sort of motive, like no idea. I'm like, well, okay. The mom's out there at least saying that. You don't have to say definitively this is what happened. But, I mean, the way these people present news, is it too much to say, you know, one of the things that will be talked about will be fill in the blank of what mom said.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you don't include that in the coverage if she's on
because
the record.
Because maybe the news is brought to you by Pfizer.
Right, and maybe... maybe,
and other pharmaceutical companies.
And maybe they'd rather have a conversation about guns rather than prescription drugs. And
yes.
I mean, this is one of those things that is, we've mentioned this before on the air with the like things like Adderall shortage. For a while, there was an antidepressant shortage in this country. Mm-hmm. And it is, you're always bracing for a moment when someone can't get their script filled. And see, like, how many people are going to wind up going completely berserk. Because even, you know, a so-called harmless SSRI antidepressant can have serious withdrawal effects on people.
Well, yes. I mean, suicides are well documented when it comes to that stuff.
Why is there a magical four-month cutoff?
Because Ativan is highly... lorazepam is what it is. Highly addictive.
Yeah. But, You're addicted after 4 months. Is that the deal?
Basically, they're saying, well, no, we don't want to approve it for long term use because maybe there are other drugs that could manage anxiety longer term.
So you get addicted, and then
cut you off. And
good.
I mean,
yeah.
So again, we'll wait to see what all gets confirmed. But to me, like, the timeline of all of that kind of makes sense. If he's, you know, starting in January, cutoff date comes. They give him something else, like a trazodone or hydroxyzine, which is pretty common for PTSD. And I don't know if that's what he was suffering from. I don't know what he was suffering from. But, you know, they could have given him something else and doesn't hit his heart. And he's addicted to this other thing, and he can't get his regular drugs, and he snaps and kills people.
Well, and I suppose we should throw the disclaimer out. No one's saying... oh, it was the drugs that killed those people. No, a guy made a decision.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, that should go without saying. But you know how some people take things, some of them, a bit out of context when you're just talking about a story like this? The guy is responsible for what happened, but you're trying to figure out, okay, what exactly led up to this?
Yeah. You suspect in his brain he held some of those people accountable for what was going on?
Well, if you're desperate, I mean, if you're desperate, you're going through that withdrawal, you're foggy, you're cloudy, something's not right. Yeah. And you're just going to lash out potentially.
Yeah, more on that a little bit later. Adam Schiff in the news, David.
Yeah, Adam Schiff is in the news after House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer issued a subpoena for records from the FBI. He wants the FBI, to come clean about some evidence they have about Joe Biden. A whistleblower claims there's evidence that Joe Biden, when he was vice president, was involved in a bribery scheme with a foreign national. Now, of course, Democrats, who spent years claiming Donald Trump was a Russian spy who stole the 2016 election, are now saying this is all ridiculous.
Okay.
So Adam Schiff, that Adam Schiff, one of the top Russia truthers out there, was asked about this on CNN.
Roll it.
I am going to spend.
No. Schiff. He changed his voice.
So I wouldn't give much stock to this. But I'm not surprised they push out these unsubstantiated allegations. They've been doing it for some time.
Do you think the American people deserve to hear from this person and the FBI should answer these questions?
At this point, it's just the most rampant speculation. We don't even know if there is such a document or what the document pertains to. All we have is someone's representation, and it doesn't even sound like he knows what it pertains to. So I don't want to speculate about it.
I'm looking at the comments from the whistleblower. I don't know if what you're saying, Adam, is absolutely true there.
No, it's not. Well, apparently there is an actual form that was filled out. The FBI's had this for years, obviously, because it goes back to the Obama administration.
Yes.
And the level of sociopathy on display here is incredible, too, because Adam Schiff spent years pushing this lie that the Trump campaign actively worked with the Russians to steal an election. And here's a handy little montage for Adam Schiff.
Oh, thank you for that.
The Trump campaign colluded with Russia.
This is part of a concerted Russian influence operation that never stopped.
There's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy in plain sight.
There is significant evidence on the issue of collusion.
I can't go into the particulars. I don't want to go into specifics, but there is more than circumstantial evidence.
And that is pretty damning.
Yeah, this thing I just made up.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and be Captain Obvious here. Somebody like Schiff, okay, I'll speak for me. You used to think, and I think I'm not alone here, that as far as individual politicians, there would be certain things you would just like tell the truth about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, that's not how you look at it now. Adam Schiff works for a machine, which is the Democratic Party. And the left. Okay, he's going to go out there and lie. It's almost like the company line. If he ever gets in trouble, he'll be taken care of one way or another.
Yeah.
So you just continue to go out there and flat out lie to people. Because that's what the company dictates, and he works for the, quote, company.
Well, also, he's under no pressure to ever lose the seat.
Oh, and that's true, too.
Well, now he's running for Senate.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. But okay, at least to me, because you see different things that come out. This isn't just some bogus thing that we're looking at here from this whistleblower.
It doesn't look like it. That could be a wrong assumption, but man, when you have somebody who is invoking legal protections to be a whistleblower, remember we were told during the first hoax impeachment of Donald Trump that, we have to protect and believe whistleblowers when they come forward, right? Because Donald Trump made a phone call and bam, he must be removed from office or else our democracy is going to crumble before us. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that if this were Donald Trump, this would be the lead story on every major network.
Oh, my goodness, yes. But the wording that the document that the whistleblower has includes a precise description of how the alleged criminal scheme was employed as well as its purpose. The alleged specificity within the document. And again, the DOJ and the FBI have enough information to determine the truth and accuracy of the information contained within it.
Mm-hmm.
You better do something. I guess, though, for half the country, if legacy media doesn't pick it up, and it just gets shadow banned on social media, how many people actually even know it's real?
Right. I mean, I would love to know how many people know that Joe Biden has a granddaughter that he doesn't acknowledge.
Yes.
I mean, something as simple as that. Dude. That's not a criminal conspiracy, but, I mean, just something as simple as that, because legacy media really doesn't talk about that kind of stuff. Not with
the
Democrats.
The president's son, who's been in the news repeatedly over the last 4 years,
mm-hmm.
shows up in Arkansas because he is not making child support payments. He's there. No one covers it.
Nope.
It's wild, man.
DeSantis should send mom and the child to a free trip to Disney World.
Not bad.
Yeah. Greet them when idea. They come off the plane and take them. Yeah.
Yes. David, you also have a piece of audio here, and this is from San Francisco?
Yeah, San Francisco Board of Supervisors meeting this week. There was a trans activist who showed up and decided to make a very compelling argument. The context is this: an armed Walgreens security guard shot and killed a 24-year-old black trans man. No charges were filed because even in San Francisco, prosecutors looked at it and said, well, the security footage shows, yeah, the guard acted in self-defense, was completely within his rights to do what he did.
Right.
But the activist class is not happy with that because you will take it if somebody assaults you, okay? And that's where this activist comes in, and you might want to be writing the volume on this one. I just want to give you that warning here.
Okay, roll it.
I am going to spend the next minute screaming, because that is what is going on in here. That is what the trans genocide in this country, in this city, has brought me to.
Okay, before you start screaming or anything else, yeah. Trans genocide.
Exactly.
Yeah, because
what are you talking about? Because some criminal got shot and it's been ruled self-defense by the security guy?
In San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Brace yourself.
Imagine that.
Oh, my God. So that wasn't like video of her after the affirming surgery she
no.
had and she saw it. Okay,
no,
just making
that's
sure.
That's the argument.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
I hate this! I hate what you've done to us! Well. I hate what you're doing to us! I hate Ooh. You, Board of Supervisors! I hate you, London wow. Bridge! I hate wow. you, Jenkins!
I thought Scott was going to freak out. You just look sad.
What am I supposed to say?
I don't know, man.
That person is mentally ill.
Well, yes.
I mean, this is mental illness.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
This is a six-part documentary. Sliding into the mental abyss.
What
Who
is
does
that,
that?
Not want people to do all of a sudden? Okay, you're there at the Board of Supervisors and they convene and say, you know what, after your compelling argument, we see what you mean. Well,
right.
Of course not. You're a nut. God. Where's this straitjacket?
Oh, man.
We're here to help, not to hurt, but you need something.
Yeah, you're
like locked up.
Something's wrong.
Okay. A lot to get to. There's another story similar to that, including a dangerous criminal. Also, on a lighter note, who are the highest paid athletes of 2023? I'm guessing two Robbins has never heard of. Coming up. All right. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. I mean, we've all put this advice out there before. I think it's good advice to anybody, really. If you're going to suffer, don't suffer in silence.
God,
yet, if you're just joining us, that was some nut in San Francisco saying there's what?
There's a trans genocide. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just decided to scream at the Board of Supervisors. A compelling argument, if there ever was one.
Got it. Okay, now let's go to the other coast, New York City.
Yeah, well, they've had some trouble on the subways, you know, with people being assaulted, robbed, even pushed on the tracks for no reason at all. On Monday, a 30-year-old homeless man named Jordan Neely walked onto a train and started yelling about how he was hungry. He was ready to go to jail or die or kill everyone on the train.
Yes.
He was acting erratically. He's done that in the past. So a 24-year-old Marine restrained him, put him in a headlock. Two other people helped hold him down.
Yes.
And he wound up dying.
It's sad that that happened.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what was the guy supposed to do? The Marine. What?
Yeah. So he was taken into custody but released without charges. And the left activists are out in force saying, we need justice for him. He was killed just because he was unhoused. No. He'd been arrested 40 times, had a warrant out for his arrest related to felony assault. And I know the people who restrained him didn't know his background, but what they did know is a guy is pacing up and down a subway train in a city where people have been murdered on the subway train.
Yes.
And he was acting erratically, talking about how he was going to kill people.
Yes.
And so I don't think that the Marine in this case meant for the guy to die.
No.
But you have to do something, right? You can't just let somebody get assaulted.
Yes. How many times have we heard it? You know, sometimes there are these assaults on the subway, and men don't do anything.
Yeah. But liberals in New York are now claiming he was lynched, and they're demanding murder charges and all of this nonsense. And, of course, now mainstream media, because they found out that the shooter in Atlanta was a black guy, they're like, oh, right. Well, we can't talk about this now. Oh, well, in this case, the guy who had him in a chokehold was white. Jordan Neely was black. So we got to fan the flames here.
Oh, I saw it this morning on the Today Show.
I've got a little bit of that audio if you want to hear it.
Yeah, this is good.
This morning, there is growing outrage and questions surrounding the death of a man on a New York City subway. This video, obtained by NBC New York, shows three subway riders subduing the 30-year-old man and one putting him in a chokehold. He later goes limp. The medical examiner ruled the death a homicide and says the cause was, quote, compression of neck, chokehold. The district attorney identified the man as Jordan Neely. A witness says that Neely got on the subway and began, quote, a somewhat aggressive speech, saying he was hungry, he was thirsty, that he didn't care about anything. He didn't care about going to jail. He didn't care that he gets a big life sentence. Police telling NBC News, quote, the 30-year-old male was engaged in a verbal dispute with a 24-year-old male, which subsequently escalated into a physical altercation. During a physical struggle between the two males, the 30-year-old male lost consciousness. Manhattan Borough President Mark Levine writing that Neely was a subway entertainer who performed dance routines in costume as Michael Jackson.
Yeah, they get all the Michael Jackson videos out there. Here's this nice guy who was just killed on the subway for no reason. I always hate it when they say it's been ruled a homicide, too, because that's a medical examiner's report. That's not a legal document. That doesn't mean anything in terms of intent or whether or not anybody broke the law. That's just what goes down on a death certificate.
Well, and somewhat aggressive. He said he was ready to go to a prison or die.
Yeah.
They leave out so much. And it is. They totally misrepresent what actually happened. They are the freaking enemy of the people.
You know why.
Of course. Oh, did you see the latest on Jeffrey Epstein? Now you get day-to-day calendars. You got to hear what he did in 2014. Coming up. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Yes, a Gen Xer, a millennial, and a sexy boomer. Before I get to this Wall Street Journal story, David, do you have something?
No, I'm just very excited about what's coming up and what's your story.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up in just a few. I saw you chuckling. I didn't know if you had an update or not. Okay. Long story short is this. So we all have different places we go to prepare for the show. That Wall Street Journal paywall is pretty good, so I got to pay for this subscription. So I'm the one that always sees these stories. But this has been fascinating to me this week. It's like one after another on Jeffrey Epstein, because the secret documents of his schedule have been unearthed.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what's really going on. Like, why all of a sudden is this showing up in the Wall Street Journal, this reporting? I don't know, but it is fascinating. And if you're one of those people that thought, that guy didn't off himself, he was murdered. Yeah, when you read all this stuff, you realize how many powerful people he was around. And I think we sort of knew that, but until you actually read it, you're like, holy smokes. And it's a lot of people you hadn't heard of, but are incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
So after the first two installments today, it says Bill Gates, Leon Black, Thomas Pritzker, one day in the life of Jeffrey Epstein. So they go to Monday, September 8th, 2014, to just detail a regular old day in the life of Jeffrey Epstein. Okay?
Okay.
If you start to get bored, let me know. We'll move on. He had a full calendar that day. He scheduled to meet with all these people. So he had planned meetings with a former top White House lawyer, a college president, and a philanthropic advisor. Three of the dozens of meetings, the Journal reported, he had with each of them.
Very busy guy.
Yeah. Now, you know, by the way, just as a reminder, in 2008, Epstein pleaded guilty to soliciting and procuring a minor for prostitution.
Yeah.
He was a registered sex offender. Okay. So Bill Gates, you know, co-founder of Microsoft, has said they discussed philanthropy, and it was a mistake to meet with Epstein.
Yeah.
Mr. Black, co-founder of Apollo Global Management, who has said previously he met for tax and estate advice, declined to comment.
From Jeffrey Epstein. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
The other two men hadn't previously discussed their meetings with Epstein and didn't respond to requests for comment. Mr. Pritzker is chairman of Hyatt Hotels, and Mr. Zuckerman is a real estate investor and media owner. So that Monday featured appointments with two luxury hotels in Midtown Manhattan, Park Hyatt, Four Seasons. Epstein was also scheduled to host several visitors at his sprawling townhouse near Central Park. So they break down his day. 10 a.m., he's meeting with Bill Gates and Thomas Pritzker. Epstein's driver picked him up in the morning, brought him to meet these guys at the Hyatt. He had met with them before. Okay. Epstein was discussing a multi-billion-dollar charitable fund with J.P. Morgan Chase executives and wrote in emails to them he could involve Mr. Gates and Mr. Pritzker.
Well, Pritzker owns the Hyatts.
So on this particular day, Bill Gates was scheduled to spend several hours with Jeffrey Epstein, accompanying him to various meetings. Okay. Remember when Bill Gates' wife said she met him finally, and when she did, she got so creeped out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gave her the creeps.
Yes.
And Bill Gates obviously knew his past. It's so odd, man.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about philanthropy with a convicted sex trafficker.
Yes.
That's odd.
And so a spokeswoman for Bill Gates said, as Bill has said many times before, it was a mistake to have ever met with him. He deeply regrets it.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't like two dinners, man.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Pritzker, part of the wealthy and politically connected Chicago family, was a frequent guest at Epstein's townhouse, according to the documents.
It's the governor of Illinois' cousin.
Now, if you remember, at that townhouse, that's where the underage girls were a lot, and that's where they were abused a lot. So 11:30 in the morning, scheduled call for Epstein and Gates to head two blocks to the skyscraper that houses the offices of Apollo Global Management. And it just kind of goes through, you know, some of that. Then by 2 o'clock, Epstein and Bill Gates scheduled to head to Epstein's townhouse to meet with Mr. Zuckerman, owner of U.S. News and World Report. At the time of the meeting, Zuckerman also owned the Daily News and was executive chairman of Boston Properties, a big owner of office buildings. So it goes on to say Zuckerman was scheduled to meet Epstein more than a dozen times over the years. On some occasions, the two men planned to meet at Mr. Zuckerman's office or home, which was near Epstein's townhouse. One night in January 2014, Epstein waited past 11 p.m., to meet with Mr. Zuckerman, who is scheduled to visit his townhouse at 10:30. Okay. Maybe these guys, they're so dedicated to helping people that I know it's past 11 o'clock at night, but we need to help the children.
Well, of course.
So we need to meet. Forget all these girls underage here.
Well, nobody's ever explained how Epstein was running with these guys. These billionaires. He was an investment banker.
He would help, and he would give advice. He knew his stuff.
It's like, it's a ridiculous notion, right off the top.
Yes.
They've got billionaires running with this convicted sex offender to get financial advice at 11 o'clock at night. All right, got it. No problem. Nothing to see here.
We get to 4:30 in the afternoon. Epstein returned to his Upper East Side townhouse. 4:30, he was scheduled to meet with Ramzi Okoli, a musician and anthropologist. He had several other meetings with Epstein over the years.
Really? A lot of meetings there.
Yeah. Mr. Okoli said one of Epstein's girlfriends had introduced them and that he occasionally went to Epstein for financial and book publishing advice.
Uh-huh.
He was such a mentor.
He's a man of many parts, isn't he? Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And he said, boy, when I heard about everything that had happened, I was sick to my stomach. Yeah. That's the quote.
Okay.
In hindsight, I realized that Jeffrey was just a very good con man. Okay. And then the next person on the counter, Leo Botstein, that was running late in the day. The longtime president of Bard College was arriving at LaGuardia and planned to head straight to the townhouse later in the evening. You don't say, you sure you don't want to get some shut-eye at the hotel
right,
and then maybe meet in the morning?
Yeah. Well, no, they got philanthropy to discuss.
And as it goes through that entire day, it says that's just one day in the calendar. They just picked one out of nowhere. There were many days that ran like that. I think there are a lot of people that would love to know exactly how wide that net would be if it were cast and who was involved and who was really, let's just say, breaking the law in one way or another.
The billionaire walks in and sits down. I'm a billionaire. And I look at Epstein and go, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about buying some Costco stock. What do you think?
Right.
Golly. Okay.
I mean, you're a convicted sex offender. What do you got to do to get kicked off that list or be booted from that club?
Well, apparently it was being prepared to name names, because then they'll just kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. In the end, it was probably that simple. And it's unfortunate that we'll never know. But again, why this week the Wall Street Journal? It's just very curious to me. I don't know. Okay, it's about that time of the show. We do this every day. We go around the room because there's a bunch of stories out there all the time, and it may not be the biggest story of the day, but it certainly caught your attention. Today, David, what's your story?
I thought this is really funny. It's actually from a couple of weeks ago, but it's just making the rounds now. There was a pro-life demonstration at the, State University of New York at Albany. A sociology professor named Renee Overdyke decided to protest the event by disrupting the event, you know, unplugging an electronic display screen that the pro-life crowd had set up. And, well, so campus police arrested her. They took her to the ground because she was resisting arrest. And in the audio, I can't play it because there's too many F-bombs interspersed in there, and you'd basically just hear one long tone.
Okay.
But one of the students can be heard yelling over and over again, "She's a professor! She's a professor!" And it just makes me laugh. Every time something like that shows up, somebody like flashes their credentials from academia, it just makes me laugh. Like, okay, and what?
Yeah, so what?
Like, I have a master's degree. I don't care. You're still a dumbass.
Right.
I have a PhD. So?
Most people in America know someone like that. They would say, well, maybe, but no common sense.
Right.
What does it mean?
There's a guy I knew that used to call, I used to call him the only $25,000 a year attorney I've ever known.
All right, Scott, what's your story?
A woman by the name of Miracle Star Vaughn. She's 27. She's from North Liberty, Iowa. Now, you're a former Iowan, Jamie. You familiar with North Liberty?
Where is North Liberty? Sounds familiar. I was in the Quad Cities for a year and a half or so.
She was sentenced last week to serve 1 year and a day in federal prison. She pled guilty to making false statements during the purchase of several firearms, according to the ATF. Mm. She lied about her drug use on her ATF form. She purchased a couple of firearms. Later, those firearms were found in possession of convicted felons, one of whom is awaiting sentencing. So she gets a 365-day prison sentence as part of a plea agreement. After she completes her prison term, she must serve an additional 3 years of supervised release. Now, has anyone else ever lied on a background check and received a weapon and not been charged with any crime?
Where's Hunter?
Where's Hunter Biden? He did the same freaking thing. She gets a year in the joint and 3 years probation for doing the exact same thing he did.
Well, this gun ended up somewhere else.
Yeah. So did his.
His wound up in a trash
can. In a trash can.
Not in the hands of a felon.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but there you go. That's the difference, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For my story, I'll go ahead, since I mentioned it earlier, we'll go through the highest paid athletes of 2023.
Oh, yeah.
We did a game yesterday. I don't know if you want to turn this into a game or not. It's up to David. He's the champ.
I'm not sure.
There's going to be a bunch of guys we've never heard of that are do like Formula
soccer
One.
Players
and soccer
players or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys don't want a game.
I don't think so. I don't feel up for it, no.
Okay, that's fine. If I had lost 37 in a row, I'd take my chances. But that's fine, Scott, if you don't, because David just said he doesn't know some of these people, and you might be able to steal one. But that's fine.
Yeah.
Top three, soccer. Ronaldo, Messi, and then, oh, man, show you what I know about soccer. Kylian Mbappe.
Soccer, too?
Yeah, France.
Oh.
That's $136 million, $130 million, $120 million. Number four, basketball player.
Probably LeBron, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. $119.5 million. Then boxer, Canelo Alvarez.
You know, it's so funny. Boxing is so far off the radar.
But you got those pay-per-views, man.
I know.
Make bank.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, I can't tell you who the heavyweight champion is. I don't know.
Yeah. Dustin Johnson at number six.
Really?
Because he went to LIV Golf from the PGA Tour, and wow, he raked in $107 million. Right behind him, Phil Mickelson. I mean, what is he, 51 now, 52?
Yeah.
$106 million.
Whoa.
That's Saudi cash.
That's some good walking around money, isn't it?
Steph Curry, $100.4 million. Roger Federer, $95 million. Kevin Durant, $89 million. There's your top 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the whole Saudi Golf League, and they don't know the future of that thing. It has struggled.
Are the Saudis going to start a radio group by any chance?
Oh, man. Story out of Portland is so Portland you won't even believe it. Next. All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Don't have much time for this right now. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. Hey, banks are sound and resilient. Oh, Pacific Western Bank looks like it might collapse.
Yeah, yeah,
whoopsie,
that's cool.
Hours later.
Yeah.
Whew. I had mentioned this story. It's so Portland, and it's sad. Especially for, and you know this, the people that have been around a long time that are part of this great city and then watch it get decimated. And I remember first going on the air 2014 in Portland. And I think it was like the first week we were on, and there was like two or three pit bull attacks of public transportation. Like,
yeah.
What is going on? It's homeless people that had pit bulls.
Pit bulls.
Okay. So I see this story at Hot Air, and he's telling the story a couple of weeks ago. Portland business owner Cheryl Wakerhauser attacked by a pit bull while out jogging. She posts the story about it on her Instagram account. Saying, you know, I'm out on a run, viciously mauled by a dog in the care of a homeless man who let it run off leash in a parking lot, one of Portland's many vacant buildings, grabbed my leg. And then it's just brutal, man. 35 puncture wounds. She talks about the homeless crisis in Portland out of control. And so she actually posted a photo of the injuries on Instagram, but Instagram removed it because it was so gruesome.
Yeah.
And so then there's a heavily blurred version at a reduced size just to sort of give you an idea of how bad it was. And, you know, she's got a, some would say, dark sense of humor because she made the photo of her injured arm and leg into this sarcastic postcard that said, "Welcome to Portland."
Oh.
Anyway, as the story goes, in a normal place, police would seize the dog. It would be destroyed. That's the way that goes.
Well, yeah.
Well, you're trying to figure out, okay, who's got the dog now? Well, this guy, Theron Bates, got a hold of the dog, and then police couldn't find him. Okay, so finally, officers find this guy, arrest him. But when they arrest him, he starts popping pills, and they think it's fentanyl. Okay, so then they've got to give him other stuff so he doesn't die. They get him away. But then the next twist of the story is Theron Bates didn't own the dog. It was another homeless person. That person's name is Jesse Miller. Okay, so the dog is supposed to be quarantined. By the way, the week before, that pit bull almost destroyed a poodle. Okay, and then there's a picture of the poodle with, you know, all the stitches, everything else. Okay, as we're running out of time, they finally find where this homeless person is with the pit bull. Cops get there. They can't do anything. They can't take custody of the dog. Because there's different laws and they're not sure what they can do and what they can't do. Where are we? And when people start taking the law into their own hands, do you blame them? Man. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Well, I'm sure if you got CBS This Morning or Good Morning America today's show, you heard all about the whistleblower claims that the FBI has evidence of Biden taking a bribe. This is fantastic.
Well, no, not really. We don't have the breathless wall-to-wall coverage of this, but a whistleblower is alleging that the FBI and the DOJ have in their possession a document that describes in detail a criminal scheme involving Joe Biden and a foreign national. It's a bribery scheme in exchange.
Oh, that's right. No one else covered it.
Yeah, in exchange for policy decisions when Joe Biden was vice president.
Okay.
Mm.
Do you know one time Trump was stealing ballot boxes?
Oh, mailboxes and whatnot?
Well, yeah.
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 Okay.
That didn't happen? Yeah.
No. But a whistleblower. Credible claim. Nah. We're not going to cover that. No. As far as the president's son not paying child support and showing up at court in Arkansas saying he just doesn't have the money, that's not worth covering. Of course not. Because they're all part of the machine. Think of it this way, man. Legacy Media, they could have been covering the border crisis for years now. It's been a little drip and drab here and there, but basically taking White House talking points and going with that. And now, look at what we're looking at right now over the next few weeks, what's going to happen. It's going to be madness at the border.
It is.
Further than what we've already seen.
Well, and seeing the reporting now out of Panama, there's a way station.
Yeah.
The Darien Gap is what it's referred to as, and for a long time that's been one of the most dangerous spots for migrants because that's a hub of human trafficking. And a lot of times you have Chinese nationals showing up there. Anyway, there are busloads of people every single day making their way out of Panama on their way up to the southern border of the United States.
Sorry, can't come in unless you can play Eddie Solo to Panama. Here's a guitar. Good luck to you.
Now, that is common sense immigration reform, okay?
Doing my best, man.
If nothing else, we'll get some real rockers in the United States.
I like that. We need a guitar infusion in this country.
Give me your tired, your poor, your shredders.
Yes.
Yes.
All about it.
And Mayorkas, what we need is more great guitarists in our country.
Kyrsten Sinema, senator from Arizona.
Oh, man.
She's done with the BS, by the way, from the White House. She was on with Brett Baer on Fox yesterday, which I think is one of the shows that still has some ratings. Anyway, they play a clip of Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security, back-to-back with Karine Jean, I'm here because I'm black and lesbian, Pierre. And she's just not having it. Here's the setup. Roll it.
It is my testimony that the border is secure, and we are working every day, day and night, to increase its security.
Dude.
Dog collar that guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's...
When it comes to illegal migration, you've seen it come down by more than 90%. And that's because of this the actions that this president has taken. But we know that more action needs to be taken. So it has to be legislative action. We're going to continue to call Congress to do that.
It's come down 90% because we changed what illegal immigration means.
Well, even then... The numbers don't add up.
That's true.
Why the other day she got so defensive when Peter Ducey said, "Hey, where'd you get that number? What are you talking about? What is that specifically in reference to?" And she said, "Well, I don't care for the dramatics. We can move on from the dramatics, okay?"
Right.
It's a number that she made up.
It was. So Senator Kyrsten Sinema, what does she say about all that BS?
So obviously the border is not secure. Anyone with eyes can see that. And anyone who lives in a border state like I do, born and raised in Arizona, actually takes offense at comments like that because they're just factually not true. The reality is that border communities in my state are suffering already, and that's before the end of Title 42. Just last week, I held a hearing in our border subcommittee and brought a Republican mayor and a Democratic mayor, both representing small border towns from Arizona.
Okay, this is where the story gets kind of wild. This is unlike, you know, a lot of what you hear.
And we just asked them, what is it like every day in your town? And Brett, there are high-speed chases going on through the city of Sierra Vista right now with young teens driving cars and sometimes being killed or causing the death of others, transporting drugs and other migrants through these communities. It is not secure. It is not safe.
Yes.
That's pretty simple. Yep.
Is that getting any coverage? Well, no. Of course not. And she's a glass breaker.
It doesn't matter because the message isn't there. You know, and then who else was on? Oh, the senator from Oklahoma, James Lankford. And he kind of laid it out, you know, this is how it all works.
So there's about 2 million people a year that are coming illegally across the border. Most of them are crossing the border and then saying, "I have fear in my country," which is what the cartels have told them to say. And then they are allowed to be able to come in the country and request an asylum hearing. That asylum hearing, depending on where they request, it will be about 18 years before it's actually settled in the future. And so they're free to go anywhere they want to, work anywhere they want to in the country. It's the pull factor into the country that you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it all works.
Well, and with the new rules that the Biden administration has put into place, as long as you say you know somebody here, it doesn't really matter if they're a family member or anything. There are actually people getting paid to be quote-unquote sponsors for people coming in under the new parolee program. Yeah, you can come in. You can work. You're here legally. It doesn't matter whether or not you have a legitimate asylum claim or anything else. You can just come on in. That's an open border. That period. That's the definition of an open border.
Yes. I know. But how many people in the United States right now even know that?
I don't know. I tend to think that maybe, just maybe, more and more people are waking up to it just because the numbers have been so staggering. And now you do have, and you have had for several months, if not more than a year now, now blue city mayors like Muriel Bowser, like Eric Adams and Lori Lightfoot in Chicago coming out and saying, "Hey, this is affecting us now. This is a problem. We got to do something about it."
Yeah, that is true. Totally switching gears into a story that is just insane. James O'Keefe, remember he was Project Veritas. He was the guy. They fired him. So he started his own group, OMG, O'Keefe Media Group. And we talked about this story that's pretty wild in Washington State, where you have these dudes that say, "Well, I'm a woman." They go into the female jail and then rape a woman. Or sometimes it's also planned, get a woman pregnant, and then they sue the Department of Justice, and you can get $1 million out of the deal. It's like a scam. Okay, and you're like, wait a second, how is this even happening? So O'Keefe had somebody undercover talking with Dr. Linda Noel, a Federal Bureau of Prisons psychologist, that talks about how Merrick Garland's DOJ just sort of rolls over on this stuff. They don't want to stop it from happening. And so this was the person undercover.
DOJ. It doesn't want to go through the courts. It'll just pay the
Doesn't want to go through the courts, just pay people off.
Yeah.
Golly.
And again, man, you're talking about, in some cases, multiple time offenders, sex offenders, that suddenly say, you know, I'm not really a man. I'm a woman. I identify as a woman. Oh, really? Okay. Well, we'll put you in the women's prison.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's about that simple. And they're raping women. You know, you talk about for years and years equality for women. And where is everyone jumping up and down about this? Like, how can you allow that to happen to women? What? Because she's in jail? Well, she doesn't really matter anymore. We don't care what happens to her. Hmm. Really? I thought we were all about the incarceration is insane. We got to help people. Remember when Trump helped get a lady out of jail early? Along with Kim Kardashian, it was such this joyous occasion, not even the left would celebrate that, right? Whatever. I mean, you have women in prison sometimes. It could be a drug charge. It could be something with money, whatever. Sometimes not violent offenders. They're just there, and all of a sudden, you got a cellmate that's a dude. And he wants some. And there's no one there to help. It's crazy.
It is.
Here's another little. Here's another little piece of that audio from Undercover. With the Federal Bureau of Prison Psychologists.
That's the bad thing. And we pay for all that. You know, our tax dollars pay for that.
And it's our tax dollars that pay for that when they sue.
They want to have all the transitional surgery. They go through the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union.
Yeah, and then if they want to have the surgery, you just go through the ACLU.
Well, I think the surgery should be required before you get transferred to a women's prison.
100%. You've said it before, dude.
That's absolutely true. I agree with you 100%.
Listen, if you get your, you know, ween turned inside out, then we can have a conversation about you being housed with female inmates. But until that point, I don't believe you. If you still got, you know, if you still got the male equipment intact, then you're obviously just a freak who wants to do something bad to women.
Man, oh man, it is just insane. All right, switching gears. You're saying Gen Z, David, is yearning for the good old days? What does that mean?
I thought this was kind of funny. There's this trend or this viral video going on TikTok that shows pictures of women in the 60s and just kind of like hanging out, having a good time and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the comments are amazing from Gen Zers.
Really?
They all look so happy and healthy. I wish I knew what life was like before technology. And then somebody else said, when life felt real, a generation I never experienced. And the interesting thing is, when you dig into this a little bit more, the same is true for the 80s and even the 90s.
Really?
Why was the 80s so comforting? Somebody said, I wish I was the age I am right now in the 80s. I'd kill to be a teen in the 90s.
I got to tell you, it was pretty glorious. If you need to know, probably had more fun. Should have been allowed. Sure, some regrets. Okay, but yeah. Sorry about your luck, kids. You know. Well, sometimes though, if you tell kids what you actually had to do as far as work,
yeah. Well.
Oh, yeah, all of a sudden it doesn't sound like such good old days anymore.
But also, I think there is something that's happening in the public consciousness in the younger generations, recognizing maybe that social media isn't all that healthy. You get that sense, at least, from parents of kids who are currently in high school or even younger than that in middle school, where people are kind of realizing, you know, maybe we need to take a step back. I mean, they're not doing it yet, but...
Well, yeah, and freaks... need to be not tolerated, but celebrated.
Yeah.
Well, did you see the Surgeon General come out with the loneliness warning?
Yeah.
Social media plays into that.
Oh, of course it does, yeah.
To a huge degree. Yeah, there are people, like, desperate.
For human contact.
In the age of social media, more contact than ever, and people are lonelier than ever.
Yep.
And more unhappy. Yeah, it's that part's pretty sad. Oh, my goodness. Do you see the story of the Colorado Teachers Union that passed a resolution declaring capitalism inherently exploits children and public schools? We'll get to that in a news update next. The world's insane. It really is insane. The world's insane. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So I see this. Is this a Fox story? Okay, Colorado Teachers Union passes resolution declaring capitalism inherently exploits children in public schools.
There you go.
Why do you call us communists?
Because you're communists.
Exactly.
Pretty obvious there.
Yep, the janitor should make the same amount of money as the superintendent, right?
Wow. Final version of the resolution that was passed states that the Colorado Education Association believes that capitalism requires exploitation of children, public schools, land, labor, and or resources. Capitalism is in opposition to fully addressing systemic racism.
Jeez.
Uh-huh.
Holy smokes.
Because you know
which
it,
is, which is the school-to-prison pipeline, climate change, patriarchy, gender and LGBTQ disparities, education inequality, and income inequality. So they want to be done with it, and they want to teach how evil capitalism is.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. If there's education inequality and you people know the answers, then why aren't you teaching black kids better?
Boy, that's a great question.
I'm just wondering. I mean, based on your premise, you're admitting that you are part of the problem, that you failed.
But the systems that are involved.
But you're part of the system.
But keeps people down, but not us.
But y'all are very much part of the system. You can't tell me it's because your district isn't giving you more Lisa Frank stickers or whatever.
Well, I know that I'm sure you could say in D.C. and Baltimore and Chicago and New York and a lot of other cities, Philly, people of color have been in charge for a long time and have controlled a lot of this, but they've been kept down too.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that in communism and socialism, children are never exploited for labor.
Yes. Never.
Never. No. No, half of them starve to death and half of them are mining lithium right now.
Sometimes do you ever just want to get up and say to a group of people that think like this, okay, can we just, for the sake of time, play this out to the end?
Right.
Because you know what happens in the end? Bad men are in charge. And you know what happens then? Well, look at Afghanistan. Look at China. Look at Saudi Arabia. Okay? Look and see what happens. Stop whining. You can make it better if you choose to, instead of making excuses all the time.
I don't want to have that high level of an intellectual discussion because I think these people are genuinely too stupid to have it. And I just want them to be fired. I want them out of any sort of government institution. They need to be out.
I'm with you there, man. With you there. Okay. There's other things out there. Well, I don't know if we want to get into this right now. They do this every year, and then we'll get some messages. Hey, what did you think about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees? Mm. What did I think? I don't know. Missy Elliott's in, and Iron Maiden's not. It's still a complete and total waste of time, period. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Okay, biggest story of the day, David.
Oh, man, there are a few. The gunman in Atlanta has been arrested, and I think one of the interesting parts of the whole thing was about the prescription drugs he might have been on or at least was seeking. He was seeking Ativan and apparently freaked out and murdered somebody and shot four others. That part hasn't really been hyped up too much, but I think that's a key part of the national conversation. Although,
well, a lot of news organizations are brought to you by Big Pharma, yeah. So let's not talk about that.
I can't talk about that. I mean, obviously, it's the guns.
Yes, guns bad. Pharmaceuticals good. Okay. And then Jeffrey Toobin, as David said, pops up again. Here we go. Toobin in the news, coming up. Yeah. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins, Soundgarden also not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Missy Elliott's in.
Whee!
Okay, we don't need to spend time on that right now. Let's get to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. A great injustice has been done.
Yeah, so this homeless guy named Jordan Neely was on the subway on Monday, I believe, and He was acting erratically, saying, well, he's going to hurt people, didn't care if he went to jail, said he was hungry. And somebody stepped in, a young man who was a Marine, stepped in and put him in a headlock. And a couple of other people helped to restrain him as well. And Jordan Neely passed away. And now the prosecutors have, at least as of now, not decided to charge the young man who restrained him with any sort of crime, because it was a situation where witnesses and pretty much everybody agrees who was there agrees that there was a perceived threat, and it didn't look like the person who had him in a chokehold was trying to kill him. It was more like, okay, let's just restrain him until the authorities can get here. Yeah. And unfortunately, sadly, he died. But the left, of course, is looking at this and calling it a lynching because the person who restrained him was white. Jordan Neely is black. This was a lynching. You got protests going on. No protests when 11 people were pushed onto the train tracks last year and killed. No protests. No say their name.
Oh, no.
Nothing at all. But in this case...
The deal was a lot of those people were Asian, and they don't count as people of color.
Right.
They get locked in as white now.
Yeah.
So, don't need to worry about that.
Nobody cares about any of that stuff. And
no.
If you talk about crime in New York City, well, you're just a white supremacist or some nonsense like that.
Right.
But in this case, a guy who's been arrested for serious charges for, like, what, 40 times?
Yes, 40.
And had an active warrant out for
40.
Felony assault?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
40.
Correct.
And again, had a warrant out for his arrest for felony assault. And
yes,
this guy...
The Today Show shows him dressing up like Michael Jackson and doing the moves, and see how he entertained people?
Yeah.
And that's fine if you want to show that to say, you know what, sometimes people mentally, you know, may not be all with it all the time.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he was off his medication, but, you know, there was maybe a good side to him. But on the other side, the guy had broke the law, well, 40 times. There was a warrant out for his arrest. You would paint the entire picture.
Yeah. That's,
but the enemy of the people, media, don't do that.
They weren't
they just
want
to divide
that.
People.
See, nice guy, harmless.
And the people who restrained him may not have known that he had that that past, that checkered past, but they did know, and everybody there agreed with the police when they were interviewed, yeah, there was something not right, and people felt threatened. And
right.
This is the message that the left is sending you now. If you try to intervene when somebody is being assaulted or under threat,
mm-hmm.
then you are actually the bad guy. You're just supposed to sit there and take it.
That's what they want all the time.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, socialist representative from New York, said Jordan Neely was murdered. But because Jordan was houseless and crying for food in a time when the city is raising rents and stripping services to militarize itself, while many in power demonize the poor, the murderer gets protected with passive headlines and no charges. It's disgusting. It is appalling. How so many take advantage of headlines, re-crime for an obsolete, tough-on-crime political, media, and budgetary gain. But when a public murder happens that reinforces existing power structures, okay. Those same forces rush to exonerate and look the other way. We shouldn't.
Money for services go for militarization?
Yeah.
The reason the crime has spiked in New York City is because you took a lot of cops off the street. She's an absolute moron.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when they...
I don't know what, you know, say what you want. She's just not a very bright person.
If we want to reduce the number of people in our jails, the answer is to stop building more of them.
No. Wrong. Wrong there.
Mm-hmm. You know. As a woman or any menstruating person in this country...
Wrong again.
See, and here's the thing, though. For all these people who weep about dog whistles and dangerous rhetoric, that is actually dangerous rhetoric, what she is sharing there.
Agreed.
That if somebody is feeling threatened, they should just take it. And that if they do anything to intervene in a situation where they are threatened, then they are the bad guy. That is a dangerous mindset to promote in this country.
Okay. Man, the truth is... Most people in the United States don't want to see anybody die. They don't. And yeah, I don't think they want to see this particular individual die.
Are people really going to be upset that the Marine took action at that time to subdue this person where people were feeling threatened? No, they don't. What if the message was, hey, to anybody that thinks they can go on a subway and just intimidate by yelling, know that there might be a Marine around and he's taking you down.
Yeah.
People would flip out on that.
Well, this is why people
don't want to get involved.
Yeah,
this
like
this is why they sit on their hands and let it happen, because man, if I get up and do something about this, I'm going to be held responsible if something bad happens.
You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see a poll in New York City for people that ride the subway. Hey, if you know on every car there was an undercover Marine just there for security purposes. You okay with that? It's over 80%.
Oh, sure.
Of course.
I mean, you're going to have to rewrite all the Marvel comic book heroes. Batman wouldn't do that now because he'd go to jail.
I don't think Batman's Marvel.
I think that's the DC universe, sir.
Whatever, DC universe.
Boy, you gave an eye roll there. Like, you didn't want to show respect at all. You were thinking dork. I don't get you. Am I right? Did I read your mind? Were you thinking, I don't want to get into your dork conversation?
Well, it was kind of dorky. You had to call me out on it. Yeah, but, you know.
Well, I think a lot of people listening were like,
well, let's go.
Scott.
Okay, well, okay, Marvel, DC.
Okay.
My point is that those types of individuals, the heroes,
I know,
wouldn't be allowed to be heroes because they'd be in jail.
What are you going to do next? Make fun of David because it's May the 4th be with you for Star Wars? Is that next guy?
I saw all that on social media this morning.
Yeah. You were making fun.
People dressing up their dogs and...
Yeah. You were mocking.
I don't care.
I'm just saying you were mocking it. That's all.
May the 4th be with you.
Do you want to back off of the mocking now?
No, it's... Listen, man.
I'll own it. I was mocking, too.
Everybody has their thing, right? Everybody has their thing.
Oh, now you back off.
No, David's thing is Star
Wars. You're going
Whisker
Biscuit
on
this.
I'm not doing
that. Yeah, I'm happy for you dorks. Good. Have fun. Our family split on it. We got a couple of big fans, and a couple of us aren't. And we have fun with it.
I'm just over here saying I'm not going to take crap from a guy who collects dolls.
See, I knew this was going to lead to something.
Oh, see, this is where it gets fun.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
See what I mean?
or a guy who's hanging on to, like, old Loudness t-shirts from 1987.
They're worth $200. And I'm not like Scott. I do sell my stuff.
Yes.
And that was 1985. That was the...
My bad.
Yeah, no problem. Thunder in the East, Tour in the West tour. Loudness. Japanese rockers. Okay, got to move on. Hey, you know what we need for the Navy? Some drag queens. How about some recruiting with drag queens?
Well, it's hard to get drag queens involved in the civil service end, yes.
Okay, maybe you saw this story. It's been around. Navy hired an active duty sailor and drag queen to be the face of the Navy's campaign to fight dropping recruitment.
I saw the ad. Did you see the ad?
It's going to do it now.
Yeah. It worked for Budweiser.
Well, of course. Why not for the Navy?
Like a charm.
Crying out loud.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Navy.
All kinds of songs.
Sail the seven seas.
See, this is Joshua Kelly, 29, identifies as non-binary, became one of five Navy digital ambassadors in a pilot recruitment program that lasted from October to March. By the way, Kelly's drag queen name is Harpy Daniels. Okay, anybody think this is going to help? This is what we're looking for our military?
No.
Going to help us win wars?
Well, I kind of hope it doesn't help, honestly, because I don't want a lot of the drag queen freak shows serving in the armed forces. I'm just going to be brutally honest here. I hope. I mean, I guess if it stops them from, you know, shaking their stuff in front of kids, I guess the Navy's a better option. But
okay, let's just talk about this from winning wars.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you my vote. I just want yours first, and then I'll tell you. You got to choose, okay? It's the drag queens or the Star Wars nerds. You're going to fill up your military with one or the other, okay? And the goal is to win wars. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Star Wars dorks.
I'm taking Star Wars dorks.
Well, that would be the trifecta, kids, all three. Yes, may the 4th be with you.
We understand honor.
Yes.
And we've been practicing with lightsabers for years.
If I'm rewarded with Princess Leia,
Gee whiz.
I will say, though, if the Chinese, if the Chinese Navy saw a bunch of women in dresses coming towards them, they may disarm themselves.
I don't see it.
They may want to join.
Until they get a look at the undercarriage.
Until they see the... Yeah,
and that's when the nukes start flying.
Exactly. Yeah, you gotta make sure you tie them up before they check the undercarriage, yes.
Okay. This is a dangerous way to transition on this show to Jeffrey Toobin, but we're going to do it because David has a Jeffrey Toobin story.
Well, Jeffrey Toobin has popped up again. This is the old CNN guy who got caught masturbating on a Zoom call at work. Yeah. He did an interview with Dan Abrams on News Nation, and before he could talk about his book that he's got out, Dan Abrams decided to ask about that whole thing that happened a couple years ago.
Awesome.
Zoom masturbation. Now former colleagues at The New Yorker were involved, among others. Subsequently fired from the magazine. You left CNN. What's life been like for Jeffrey Toobin?
Well, let's talk about the incident itself.
Yeah.
It was a disaster in my life. Self-inflicted, self-destructive, and something that I will regret for the rest of my life.
Self-inflicted self-pleasure.
Yes,
wow.
It was. It was a disaster.
Yes.
After the incident, you went on CNN and you talked about therapy and public service, et cetera. Has that happened?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to be a better person, and I'm still working on that.
Okay.
I mentioned just sort of in passing that I work at a food bank every week, which I continue to do. We've been in the similar business for a long time. I'd done 20 years of live shots. I was ready to do something else.
Whoa, see, whoa, 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 whoa,
like
whoa,
camp.
Whoa, exactly. Whoa, whoa, that's breaking news exactly. As far as I know. Hold on, hold that, hold on.
For a long time, I'd done 20 years of live shots.
Oh, goodness. Ugh.
Gross. Ugh.
Nobody wants that.
Gosh dang it, I made contact with Van Camp right at the same moment.
Huh. Loose skin, old gross. You have another cut of this?
Yeah, he was asked he was asked what it feels like to still be the butt of jokes years after the fact, because I mean, he single-handedly provided a whole lot of jokes to a whole lot of people.
It's lousy. I mean, the whole thing is lousy. If I could, you know, rewrite history or go back in time, of course I would not want to have brought this on myself and, more importantly, on my family. But, you know, I as we used to say in school, this is on my permanent record. I know that, but I hope it's not the entirety of my permanent record.
It is the entirety. I'm sorry, bro. It is. Yeah. That is what you will be remembered for.
It man, is, oh, man.
You, certainly is a stain on it.
See, here we go. How many songs can we work into one segment that's not a Friday Five?
Well, you got to hand it to him. You know? His life has been full of ups and downs.
Yes. He took a knuckle sandwich right to the chin.
See why we can't have nice things. News update, maybe, next. All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Got to get to an update in a second. Before we get there, I don't know if you saw PolitiFact say that Randy Weingart did advocate for reopening schools during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Teachers union boss.
Yeah.
As soon as they did, the backlash online from people calling that out as BS. Wow. And Elon Musk, he ended up tweeting, "The power of community notes to combat actual disinformation is incredible."
Yeah. Well, again, it's an example of leftists losing an argument and then changing language. So PolitiFact's whole point was, well, she advocated for opening schools safely, but nothing was ever good enough for her. And why is it that affiliates of the American Federation of Teachers were demanding, as part of a safe return to class, student loan debt forgiveness.
Right.
I mean, that has nothing to do with any
politics than it did any sort of health.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think a lot of people knew that. We were just talking about the Navy and their recruitment, using a drag queen to help with recruitment because numbers are way down. The update to that is, and I just saw the headline, the Navy SEAL that killed Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
His quote was, "I can't believe I fought for this bull bleep."
Well, no, he probably can't.
I bet not either.
I mean, who thought this was a good idea? Who's?
Well, his whole tweet said this. All right, the U.S. Navy is now using an enlisted sailor drag queen as a recruiter. I'm done. China is going to destroy us. All caps, you got this, Navy. I can't believe I fought for this bull bleep.
Yeah.
Dude, the left is destroying the country from inside. You see it happening all over the place.
And a lot of the people who push initiatives like this, by the way, are not actually part of the military. I mentioned this before,
right, exactly.
having buddies who are still serving right now, who will say it's a lot of times it's some stupid professor or HR director from the private sector who comes in to advise the brass.
And again, how did that ever happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's maddening. It's crazy. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. David, do you have a news update?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple. One, migrants are being turned away at shelters in Washington, D.C. because there's no more room at the inn. That's not who we are.
When there's no more room, what are you supposed to do?
I thought they were a sanctuary city. Doesn't that mean that they have a place for people to stay?
They need federal dollars. They need more federal dollars.
And they show up unannounced and they just kind of are expecting a place to be?
Well, I would say, you know, Martha's Vineyard's still an option. The people out there said it was so rewarding to have them there for all of 17 hours.
Well, see, it's about to be tourist season and all of that. So, yeah, unless they know how to, like, mow a lawn or something, we don't really want them on Martha's Vineyard.
Okay.
Because, you know, all these loving progressives are the biggest racists on the planet.
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's true.
You accuse everyone else of racism, but they don't want them at our place. Like, please.
They don't know any black or brown people unless they work for them, and that's about it.
And when you do work for us, could you mask up just in case?
Yeah, you mask up. I'm not going to mask up.
No.
You mask up.
Thank you.
You have germs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you have Kamala Harris in the news?
Kamala Harris speaking. This is like a 2-minute clip, so whenever. Okay.
Right. What was this for?
This is some event. It's called Visible Together.
Okay. All right. It's like something to send her to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this an LGBTQ thing?
I'm not entirely sure. I assume it is, but because visibility apparently is a big thing for the loudest people out there.
Because drag queens, they don't stand out.
No, not at all. One of those.
Just can't see him. It's like camouflage.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right. She's talking about the state of play right now in politics in 2023.
Okay. You know, but talk about going backwards, right? So you look at this moment we're in where, you know, a lot of the work that we've been doing as administration, I think today demonstrated that, has been to address what we must do in terms of empowerment of communities, but also to fight against injustice.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And when we think about
Yeah. Just a few predictions on the way. And I apologize how I'm going to get annoying, so just tell me to stop.
Yeah.
We're going to get no specifics on anything.
No, we're not. No.
Empowerment on these issues, and we've been fighting for it.
Can we do one of these things without saying this moment in time?
Well,
no.
In the spirit of Vice President Kamala Harris, I will also say when she's talking about injustice, The administration she's a part of has ushered in a new and, in modern times, unprecedented increase in child labor because of the border crisis.
Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah, like 10-year-olds working at chicken processing plants and whatnot because, well, they were told they had a sponsor, and that sponsor is actually somebody who's going to essentially pimp them out to whatever corporation is going to hire them to do menial tasks.
Well, another accomplishment has been, as far as I can tell, more women are raped in prison than ever because of dudes going to women's prison saying that they're women. But then they just get the hot feelings for them, apparently, once they're inside. Yeah. Crazy how that works. But anyway, go ahead.
We've been in the last few years in terms of everything from anti-Asian hate crime to what we are looking at in terms of attacks on fundamental freedoms like those that of a woman to make decisions and a person to make decisions about their body. To the attacks.
You mean like those women in prison?
Yeah, right. Well, not those women.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Decisions about the, you're talking about the killing of children. All right, go ahead.
Rights, to the attacks we're seeing on LGBTQ and trans folks.
The attacks
we're seeing where there are literally, can you imagine in this year of our Lord 2023, book bans?
Nobody's banning books.
Nobody's banning books.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's another lie.
No, specific graphic novels that have obvious and vivid descriptions of sexual acts between children. Yeah, that's not available in your school library in some jurisdictions, but it's not banned. You can go out and buy it. If a parent wants to buy that for their kid, they can do that.
Yeah, it was about oral sex that was being taught to middle schoolers. Now, Kamala, I know you know something about that from your career, but we don't want it in the schools.
Just God awful people. Just awful people.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, really, like what?
Yeah.
Book bans.
Right.
And what we are seeing in terms of in places like Florida, where literally teachers who are in a same-sex relationship and have a spouse and a family are afraid to have photographs of their family in their classroom for fear that it will then evoke a conversation with a student. That is basically these so-called leaders are saying should not be happening in that classroom.
Here's the conversation. You should talk to your parents about it.
Yeah.
That's it. If the kid's like, hey, what's this picture? You should talk to your parents about that. Okay. So what? Is there this great need to have pictures up at your workplace? Most people in America don't get to do that anyway. They don't have the workspace.
I don't... Is there some widespread thing where
no, it's any
people
little
are
thing.
Having pictures of their spouses on the desk of their classroom? I don't know,
man.
Who objected? Who went, wait a minute, you can't do that.
No, it's activists. It's the same one.
Right.
There was one school district in Florida where the librarian took all the books off the shelves.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that. And then they said, oh, my gosh, they're banning the Roberto Clemente book or whatever. When that wasn't actually on, nobody told them to do that. It was, they just did it and made a stink about it to try to say Ron DeSantis is a fascist who's leaving library shelves literally bare for the children.
Yeah. Anyway, I wonder what would happen if teacher had a picture up of their kid, say, getting confirmed or baptized. And the kid happened to ask, what's that all about? Well, that's about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ah! They would flip out, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead with Kamala.
All right, here we go.
Talk about these. There are attempts that are happening right before our eyes to roll back all of the hard-won freedoms that we have collectively fought for.
Like what?
Well, talking to kindergartners about the genitals, obviously, hard-fought freedom.
And when you have very little to really gripe about, you make it so much longer and whinier. And it's an assault on our ears. Okay, go ahead.
7 seconds left in this.
All right.
And this is a time for everyone to stand. and to speak out and be very active. You know, there's an old poem about that.
And then it goes on from there.
Got it. All right. I got another piece of audio. This one's a little more fun. Well, it depends on how you look at it. John Kennedy, Senator from Louisiana.
Oh, gosh, I love this.
He is asking the Deputy Energy Secretary, David Turk, the Turkster, hey.
Another cabinet selection.
You're looking at billions of dollars for the green weenie stuff, right?
Another genius.
Okay, yeah. So if we spend $50 trillion, how much is it going to reduce the temperatures around the world?
Yeah, you got to kind of figure that out, right?
I mean, ballpark me here.
Yeah.
Now, it's fun in a way, but you could get frustrated because I'll tell you this, you're not going to get an answer.
You could answer my question. If we spend $50 trillion to become carbon neutral in the United States of America by 2050, you're the Deputy Secretary of Energy. Mm-hmm. Give me your estimate of how much that is going to reduce world temperatures.
So first of all, it's a net cost. It's what benefits we're having from getting our act together and reducing all of those climate benefits.
Let me ask
you. This is like going in and asking for a raise. Well, you see, there's a lot of things at play here. Am I getting the money or not? Well, you don't understand. There's all these other expenses, and it's going to the greater good, because then if we want to make sure that these people have jobs, blah, 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 blah.
Maybe I'm not being clear. If we spent $50 trillion to become carbon neutral by 2050 in the United States of America, how much is that going to reduce world temperatures?
This is a global problem, so we need to reduce our emissions, and we need to do everything we can.
How much, if we do our part, is it going to reduce world temperatures?
We're 13% of global emissions.
You don't know, do you? You don't know, do you?
You can do the math. We need to.
You don't know, do you, Mr. Secretary?
See, I love playing audio to Van Camp when he hasn't heard it yet.
I hate that stupid middle management nonsense. Yep. Well, we got to do our part. No. What will our part look like? Oh, you can't answer it because actually this is a gigantic scam?
Correct.
Ah, got it.
Okay. Man, I don't want to be excruciating. There's like 40 seconds left.
Oh, I think it's well worth it, though.
There's a great part. Yeah, I think it's like 20 seconds, yep. And keep rolling.
So we're 13% of
global. If you know, why won't you tell me?
If we went to zero, that would be 13%.
You don't know, do you? You just want us to spend $50 trillion, and you don't have the slightest idea whether it's going to reduce world temperatures.
Correct.
Now, I'm all for carbon neutrality, but you're the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Energy, and you're advocating we spend trillions of dollars to seek carbon neutrality, mm-hmm. And you can't, and this isn't your money or my money, it's taxpayer money, and you can't tell me how much it's going to lower world temperatures?
Check this.
Or you won't tell me? You know, but you won't?
In my heart of hearts, there is no way the world gets its act together on climate change unless the U.S. leads.
Tell me how much it's going to reduce. You can't tell me. Either that or you won't.
China's been so cooperative so far.
Jeez, I know. It is.
It's okay, David. We're going to get through this, man. David's
no, it's not okay.
Okay, there he is.
It's really not okay.
It's not.
This is not sustainable. This is... Because, look, none of this is about global warming or anything like that. He doesn't believe anything in his heart of hearts.
No.
He's saying what he's told to do.
Yep.
And when you look at how much money different individual lawmakers, bureaucrats, up and down the federal government have money involved in these so-called green and renewable technologies, which we learn time and time again, actually aren't all that green.
Nope.
Because pollution is more than just carbon emissions, idiots. Anyway... Not really all that green. This is obviously a scam that they are running. And if you want to try to make the argument, it's not some pie in the sky, well, we lead and other people will follow argument. It's
right.
Specifics. Here's how we will contribute to saving the planet if we spend these dollars.
Yes, they won't do it, man. That's just not going to happen.
That's the kind of crap that only works in government.
You're absolutely right. Because even middle manager goes to his boss with that nonsense. Dude, they're not going to last long.
Nope.
Well, what do I get for my money?
Exactly.
I mean, what am I getting for this? Nothing.
Boy, oh boy. I just saw this story, too. We can get to this if you want coming up. You're thinking, all right, when is it going to be that Anheuser-Busch is going to say, you know what, we're sorry. Okay, with the Dylan Mulvaney thing and the Bud Light... Now, well, we're not there yet. because the Bud Light owner's CEO has said, well, you know what? This whole thing is just misinformation.
What?
Yes. It was one, but this wasn't a campaign with Dylan Mulvaney. This is, a lot of this is just misinformation.
Golly.
Man, it's amazing, isn't it? We'll get to that and a news update straight ahead. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, so the whole Bud Light, Dylan Mulvaney story. I know there are times I'm like, man, this story's getting old in a way. But the thing that continues to fascinate me is just how companies respond to different crises at any given time. And, okay, how are they going to try to get a customer base back that has left? And trying to figure out, okay, is this just a temporary thing? It's going to blow over like Corona during coronavirus and no one wanted to buy Corona.
Yeah.
And people were thinking, oh, never, Corona's done. And it came back. Will that happen with Bud Light? I don't know. We'll see. But Michael Doukeris, or Doukeris, he's the chief exec of Bud Light, of Anheuser-Busch InBev. You know, that's a German company, by the way. All the sales are in the toilet for Bud Light. We all know this. So he is out there to tell people now that we have to clarify the facts. This is the statement, right? That we believe we have the experience, the resources, and the partners to manage this. And our four-year growth outlook is unchanged. We will continue to learn, meet the moment in time, all be stronger as we work tirelessly to do what we do best. Bring people together over a beer and creating a future of more cheers. All right. This was about one influencer, one post, not a campaign. A lot of this is misinformation. Okay, to me, you're not reading the room at all.
How hard is it to be a normal guy? I mean, right. Just a normal person who understands how normal people react to things. And again, the so-called boycott of Bud Light, I don't even know how much of it is driven out of anger. It's because they're a cultural punchline right now, dude.
That I 100% agree with you on that. I 100% agree with you. It's a cultural punchline, and it is. And it will remain that way for a long time.
Okay. Scott, you and I haven't drank in years.
No.
David, I know that if you were going to grab beer, Bud Light wouldn't be your first choice anyway.
Right? I mean, it's between Bud Light or Miller Light, whatever's easiest to reach for, honestly.
Okay.
I mean, now, no, it's not Bud Light. Honestly, it's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
But even before it became a punchline, as soon as you saw the story and the day it happened, and we all thought it was a joke, like this can't really be.
You can't be that dumb. Yeah.
It turned you off to the brand.
Yep.
Just like that.
Yeah. It did.
Yeah.
And then it just grew from there.
Right.
Yeah.
Now it's a meme. it is. Yep.
I know. But when I see this, and again, someone said this earlier in the week, these people that make these decisions, it's not like they've ever been to a NASCAR race. It's not like they've been to a show where a ton of Bud Light is sold. They have no idea who the audience is.
Been to a baseball game.
Exactly.
No, they're out of touch. They don't have anything to do with reality. I feel most sorry for the guys, the local guys on the ground.
No, we've said that before.
They got to deal with it.
In other news, banning gas stoves is how you transition?
Yeah.
Oh, who said that? We still got to get to that. Wow. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. All right, David, biggest story of the day.
To me, it's not the biggest story of the day, but media is making it into the biggest story of the day. It's the killing of a violent homeless man on a New York City subway.
Here we go again, man. This is what media does. Let's fan the flames.
Yeah.
Let's create racism when it's not there, and that way people won't pay attention to what's really going on with the government.
Yeah, this Jordan Neely guy walks on. Guy's been arrested like 40 times, had an active felony assault warrant out for him, started acting erratically on a train, started threatening people, and a guy intervened and put him in a headlock, and then sadly he died, but people are calling for blood now.
Get to that. And the Robbins Trifecta next. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. I'm Jamie Martin, the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial, the Sexy Boomer, Scott Robbins. Okay, you want to do news update or banning gas stoves?
Well, I guess we can do a news update here. People are still fanning the flames of the death of Jordan Neely. This was a homeless man who had a history of violence, who was acting violently on a subway, was restrained by a passenger, and sadly died as a result of that. The prosecutors in New York are not charging the person who restrained him with a crime because witnesses are pretty much in lockstep saying that the guy was threatening people and he had to be restrained. I don't think there was an intent to kill him, but, you know, somebody is threatening people and someone steps up to try to make sure he doesn't hurt anybody. I don't see how you can look at that situation as anything other than, well, a tragic outcome to something that was unfortunately necessary.
Yes.
But Ayanna Pressley, representative.
Oh, is she joining AOC?
Yeah, oh, she's a member of the squad. She's the bald broad from Massachusetts. Yeah.
Yeah.
The bald broad.
It's Thursday.
Yeah,
camp's at it. I think we've all had it.
She shared a video of Jordan Neely as doing his Michael Jackson impression.
Right.
And because that's how, you know, a lot of people in media are trying to say he was just a Michael Jackson impersonator. And there are people online saying, hey, wait a minute, this guy tried to push me on the subway tracks like a month ago.
Right.
Yeah.
He was a menace, man.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he wasn't ever nice to somebody at some time.
Yeah. Ayanna Pressley writes, he was 30 years old. Black men deserve to grow old, not be lynched on a subway because they were having a mental health crisis. Jordan
lynched?
Deserved
really?
Better accountability now.
Lynched.
He was not lynched.
Oh, my goodness. These people are
clowns.
Yeah,
they're saying lynch. Yeah.
Gee whiz, man. Okay. Yeah, I mean, even Eric Adams, the mayor, said, any loss of life is tragic. There's a lot we don't know about what happened. I'm going to refrain from commenting further. I need all elected officials and advocacy groups to join us, prioritizing getting people the care they need and not just allowing them to languish because he was, well, mental.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, there are some like AOC who are out there saying, well, you need better housing programs or something like that.
They don't work.
It's because there's a difference between what's called like cyclical homelessness, which is where, hey, you're trying, but, you know, you can't keep a job or whatever. And sometimes you wind up on the streets, then you find housing, then you wind up back on the streets, that kind of stuff. There's a difference between that and then the chronic homelessness, which is usually the result of severe mental illness and drug abuse. And just putting somebody into a, you know, duplex isn't going to solve that problem.
No, it's not.
It doesn't work. They need help. They need help. They need, I mean, honestly, reopen the institutions. You have to.
It's been said many times. By the way, did you notice how quickly the Atlanta shooting from yesterday has already gone out of the news cycle?
Because it was a black guy.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right, though. It's
right.
And also pharmaceuticals were involved, according to the guy's mom, because in this case, the guy had, I guess, been on Ativan, and then due to regulations, he was cut off after 4 months and was put on a different drug. This is according to his mom, at least, and then snapped this week because he wanted to get his Ativan back and couldn't get it, and then he went and killed somebody and shot 4 others.
Okay. Now, if sometimes you do this, you change out the stories and you change out the race of people. Okay. In Atlanta, if I remember right, the one person that died was a white woman.
Yes.
Okay. Imagine the shooter there was white and the one person that died was black.
Mm-hmm.
The left and legacy media would still be on that story.
Yeah.
Well, we all know it.
And with Jordan Neely, if the roles were reversed, if it was a white guy who was strangled ultimately by a black guy, we would never hear the story.
And if we did.
Oh, it'd be.
And if the black man was a Marine,
mm-hmm.
he would be hailed as a hero.
Yeah.
And I get it because he was protecting other people. But that's exactly what the left and legacy media does. But,
yeah.
You know?
Don't need to guess on that. You can just see the amount of coverage.
Yeah. We all see it.
Yeah.
All right. Also in New York, banning gas stoves.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. Okay, we need to do it.
Yeah, New York Governor Kathy Hochul says banning gas stoves is essential to fighting climate change. The state is moving forward with banning gas stove hookups or gas appliance hookups in new construction. And, well, here's what she said about it on Good Day New York.
Okay.
Just like we had to go from long time ago to transition from coal as your energy source. We do have to transition. There are clean energy alternatives. It's going to
talk to Germany on that.
It's going to take time. And I want to make sure that New Yorkers don't get hit hard for the cost. So we're going to roll this out. But new buildings that are going up, they can go electric. They can do heat pumps. This is how you transition.
I just think it's funny.
Building those buildings for all the new people coming in?
Yeah, right.
No need.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me about all of this is that a bunch of Democrats and liberal media people said like 2 months ago, banning gas stoves, that was just a made-up controversy by MAGA Republicans who wanted to
yes.
change the conversation away from January 6th or whatever.
Right.
One of my favorite reactions to that whole thing was Joe Scarborough on MSNBC. Yelling at Republicans for talking about something that a lot of people noticed.
Roll it.
You have Ron DeSantis, so I'm going to protect your gas. Everybody's going to be talking about gas stoves. It's so stupid.
No.
As I said, it makes Trump Republicans look even dumber.
Oh, my God.
And it really is. They have a chance to push issues and talk issues. They just don't want to. So now they're talking about gas stoves instead of Vladimir Putin threatening nuclear war.
What a sad little man.
He is a sad little man, but he doesn't really have to worry about anything. I mean, he heats his home and cooks his food by burning evidence related to him having an intern killed back in the day. I'm kidding. Kind of.
I like the way she chirps in the background.
Yeah.
Whoa, oh, God, yeah.
Ugh, that's sickening.
All right, Robbins, are you ready
yeah,
for your
roll.
Big three?
Yeah, let's go, man. Let's do it.
Have you been ready? Okay.
I'm so ready.
Roll it out. Casey's ready.
Are you ready?
One, two,
it's the three most important news stories of the day.
I'm ready.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, easy. At least according to Scott Robbins.
I'm ready.
It's the
Stop.
Trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Now.
It's
trifecta. Scott Robbins, top three stories of the day.
I'm ready.
I always helped by his hero, Casey Kasem. And
such a hurry this today, isn't he, man?
Yes.
Yeah, he's I'm double ready. Parked.
Okay, I get it.
Something you got to do later? What?
Three.
Number three. American students now know less about American history than non-native or non-American-born students.
Just 13% of U.S. 8th grade students met proficiency standards for U.S. history and civics. This is according to a report from the Department of Education, by the way. The data was released by the National Center for Education Stats, showing the improvements on the topic seen in the 1990s have been entirely eliminated between 2018 and 2022. Rating on 0 to 500 scale, testing found 8th graders scored an average of 258 in U.S. history, 5 points lower than that in 2018. Now, the proficiency, by the way, is defined as a topic demonstrating the ability to explain the significance of people, places, events, ideas, and documents in American history. Understand and explain the opportunities, perspectives, and challenges associated with diverse cultural populations.
They don't want to do that. They learned that a long time ago. If you want to turn a country Marxist or communist, you can't do it by convincing people without money this is what we need. They figured out, 100 years ago, you got to take over the institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've taken over education. And that's exactly what they're doing, not teaching history. So kids don't know it. It's easy to manipulate people that way.
It's not history, and then also not teaching civics, basic functions mm-hmm. of government, because it makes it a lot easier to make the argument that you should do things like either PAC or abolish the Supreme Court, abolish the Electoral College,
right.
make D.C. a state, dismantle constitutional rights like the First and Second Amendment, adding make-believe constitutional rights, like you have a constitutional right to have a sex change at 13.
Right.
Or a constitutional right to an abortion. I mean, it makes it easier to make all of those arguments when you have an entire generation, or in this case, multiple generations, who don't actually know how the federal government is set up to work.
It's very true.
But yes. The kids coming here from other countries seem to know all about that.
Well, they have to, because exactly. That's part of the, if they want to become citizens, that's part of the whole thing.
I find that interesting, though. I do. I really find that interesting.
Yeah.
They know more than kids who grew up here, went to school here, have parents who went to school here. No idea.
Yes.
And the countdown continues.
We just need more money.
Scott Robbins, right? Fact, the top three of the day, up to number
two.
Number two, another Democrat has magical stock trading skills.
Yeah, how about it? Florida Democratic Representative Lois Frankel capitalized on the First Republic Bank's collapse and the subsequent buyout of J.P. Morgan Chase. This is according to financial disclosures. Frankel sold her stock in the San Francisco-based bank March the 16th, weeks before the value of it dropped 75%.
Hmm.
And U.S. regulators seized the bank's assets. She then took the money she made off that deal and invested it right back into Morgan Chase and Company, which, of course, merged and took over the bank, netting her a big, big windfall. When reached for comment, Frankel said her account is handled independently by a money manager. Now, he buys and sells stocks at his discretion. Pretty savvy fellow there, I guess, huh?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, yep. He dumped her stock every time. At First Republic. Yeah. He turned right around and used that money to buy stock at J.P. Morgan.
Yes.
The numbers get smaller as the hits get bigger.
These people make me sick.
Scott Robbins, trifecta.
Yeah.
Up to number
one.
Number one, a guy says he had a heart attack and went to hell.
Yeah, he had the heart attack and went to hell in 2016. He's just now talking about it, though. This was a priest. Said he briefly happened to him in 2016. Then he talks a little bit about what hell was actually like. Gah. He said he saw men walking like dogs on leashes, eyes bulging out.
And on all fours?
Yes. And heard demons singing Rihanna songs and Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy. Although they did it demonically and was making people crazy.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he did really say that.
Just making sure.
Guy's name is Gerald Johnson, suffered the heart attack, near-death experience. Went on TikTok to talk about it. He said, I would wish this on my worst enemy. He said, I don't care what anybody's done to me. Nobody deserves that in the afterlife. Yeah. The eyes were bulging. They were wearing chains on their necks. It was a hellhound. There was a demon holding the chains. So what this has taught him is he needs to forgive people who had wronged him instead of hoping for their punishment.
Well,
I don't hear stories like that very often.
You know, I actually have an update to that story. It turns out it wasn't a vision of hell. It was a vision of a Montessori school in San Francisco.
And there you have it.
See, why didn't I write that punchline? That's better.
The Scott Robbins trifecta.
God dang it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Rihanna songs. God, no. Brella, brella, brella.
Okay, got a news update. Oh, and Ed Sheeran, is he guilty or innocent? Plagiarizing and Nimrod's in the news. All coming up right here. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jeremy Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
So, with the whole Jordan Neely thing in New York, where this erratic homeless guy who had assaulted people on the subway before was talking about assaulting people on the subway again, Marine, who happened to be on the same train, got him into a headlock and subdued him before he could hurt anybody. And tragically, Jordan Neely died. But that doesn't make this Marine a murderer. And even the people in New York are saying, yeah, probably not. No, I don't think we're going to charge him with murder. But people are out for blood right now. And this is my favorite take in defense of this person who literally had a felony assault warrant out for him, apparently.
Okay.
It's a woke pastor out of Los Angeles who writes, Jesus is a 30-year-old black man riding the subway, hungry, thirsty, and fed up.
Holy tell him that God's gonna
cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Turn from that young woke pastor.
Yes.
Let you know. I'm sure Ben Crump is on his way to New York along with Sharpton.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Update.
Ed Sheeran, remember we talked about this? It was the whole, hey, copyright infringement, Marvin Gaye, and then, you know, played the clips of the mashup together, that whole deal, you know? Really trying, yeah. Cleared by jury.
Wow.
Copyright. You
know, yeah. Ben Crump was involved in that lawsuit, wasn't he?
If he was, I did not know that.
I had read that he was one of the attorneys who was going after Ed Sheeran on behalf of the estate of Marvin Gaye, trying to get some money, saying that he ripped him off. Yeah, he didn't rip it off. Yes, it's similar, but it's pretty common chord progression here.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't realize this, but Ed Sheeran missed his grandmother's funeral because he had to be in New York for part of this trial.
No way.
That's what he said.
Oh, wow.
That sucks, man.
Yeah. By the way, real quick, music news for Nimrods. Congrats. Yes, the Spinners and Missy Elliott, Rage Against the Machine, Willie Nelson, George Michael, Kate Bush. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay. Boston's not in there. Sammy Hagar, Foreigner, Iron Maiden, Meatloaf, Motley Crue, Ozzy Solo, REO, Scorpions, Soundgarden. They're just not worthy yet. They're no Kate Bush, okay?
Be running up that hill.
What other song is she known for?
Nutbush something.
That's it? Nutbush, City Limits? Bob Seger.
Let's
get to Nimrod. Roll it out there. Tough. Come on. Stop that song.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dan.
It's Nimrods in the News on the Martley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
Messy yellow line. Nimrods in the News. Okay. Here we go. Woman in Texas, Brandy Ackerman, walked up to a grocery store clerk, pulled a knife out of her jacket, demanded the clerk open the cash register, but the clerk said no. So Brandy put the knife back in her jacket and said, I was just kidding anyway. Then she went back to shopping. Later paid for the items and left. Cops show up later. You're still being charged with this.
Golly.
Nimrod in the News.